Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake joined, as always, by Gabby Urrutia. Per usual, we got plenty to touch on with the football team. Transfer portal just closed, and a couple of notable Miami Hurricanes jumped in the portal at the deadline. We'll discuss that. We have the departure of our first staff member from the 2022 team. We will touch on that. Then, as always, we will touch on recruiting. Recruiting never stops, and the 2024 cycle is upon us, with Miami hosting plenty of big-time prospects here this weekend. We'll get into that, and we will also get into maybe some of the early 2024 quarterback names to know from a Miami perspective. But before we dive into the show, let's get a quick word in here from our sponsors. Money can be the root of all evil when you don't understand it. A couple of bad decisions shouldn't continue to affect us years later, and the path to recovery shouldn't be as painful as the regret. Everyone at some point needs help with their financial situation, and Pride Financial can lend that helping hand. Pride Financial offers a patient and judgment-free environment and will provide you with the knowledge and power you need to realize your dreams. Once they identify your goals, they will guide you to the finish line, holding your hand every step of the way.
Repairing and building credit is only the first step. They'll educate you on a variety of banking and financial institutions, what resources they offer, and how to maximize funding for your financial needs. Gain access to a vast network of realtors and licensed dealers to receive outstanding deals on prime real estate and the newest vehicles to fit your lifestyle. They even offer education and services to assist those more involved on the business side of things.
Text 305-393-7698. Or email globalchoice_consulting@yahoo.com to book a free consultation with Pride Financial. And let's take pride in our finances.
This episode is also brought to you by Midway Sports, your one-stop shop for all of your sporting good needs, located just 2 miles south of the University of Miami. This locally owned small business has everything you would need to gear up for every sport. Their stocked up men's, women's, and kids' selections has you and your family covered for all of your outdoor needs. Use promo code SMOKE15 for 15% off your online order at midwaysports.com.
Are you a business owner or manager in need of seasonal or temporary staff? Let the folks at LT Pro Enterprises assist. The folks at LT Pro Enterprises can help you find laborers for your business in the state of Florida, with an expanding footprint to other states as well. Reach out to Lionel Torres at torreslionel1@gmail.com. LT Pro Enterprises, your source for all of your staffing and labor needs. All right, we are back. Thank you so much to our sponsors. that means the world to us. Your support definitely helps. All right, Gabby, let's start with kind of the big news, I guess, of the week to this point, and that is the departure of quarterbacks coach Frank Ponce, who is returning to Appalachian State, which is where he came to Miami from. He was the offensive coordinator at Appalachian State in 2021, did a good job there. Appalachian State had a great season this year offensively as well. Without Coach Ponce, their offensive coordinator departed, and that opening was a situation that Frank Ponce decided to go back to. My biggest takeaway, I think, in terms of just whether or not to leave Miami, I think if Coach Ponce really wanted to stick around Miami, I think he definitely could have been in the mix for the wide receiver position if that came open, or I should say when that comes open. I don't think he would have been under consideration for the offensive coordinator job if slash when that would have come open at Miami. And I think he kind of knew that, and he wants to be an offensive coordinator. So I think he felt like it was the best move for his career to go back to App State, which he likes it there. He's a fan of that program and that town and that life, and he wants to be a coordinator. And I think, you know, one or two good years there, he'll make the jump up to being a Power 5 coordinator somewhere. So good luck to Coach Ponce. I don't think it was any bad blood between him and Mario or anything. But what was your take on it, Gabby, when you saw that news pop?
I think once the Appalachian State job opened up, I feel like both of us kind of our ears perked, and it's just like, that's a situation that made sense, David. And you mentioned Coach Ponce and how much, you know, he loves that area. Like, I know he absolutely loves Boone, North Carolina. He loves App State. I don't think he sold his house there. Like, you know, I think he still, like, even when he lived down here, I think he even had a house up there still. So, you know, I think that this is a, you know, I think it's a situation that makes sense for him. I think it's a good fit there, a place he's extremely familiar with, for all the reasons you mentioned too, that it didn't seem like, you know, if slash when the coordinator job opened here up here at Miami, that I don't know if Frank Ponce was going to be seriously considered for that role. So I do think from a career trajectory standpoint, it made sense for him to go back to a place where he can go call plays. You know, App State coordinators, this previous one just became the offensive coordinator, I think it was Mississippi State, right? You know, I feel it seems like a springboard job to a bigger job. And obviously he took it to take the quarterback's job here at Miami. But I think he knows if he goes back to App, has success there to call plays. And, you know, in a couple of years, like you mentioned, he can go off into the Power Five somewhere and be a coordinator at a bigger program.
Yeah. And look, I think too, just the structure of the way this, you know, Coach Ponce was in a tough position because of the way this offensive right. coaching staff was built. You have your offensive coordinator as the wide receivers coach in Josh Gattis, and Frank Ponce then becomes the straight up quarterback coach. And I think that's just, you know, it can be done, but I think that's a tough way to structure a staff. I think if you're going to have that type of setup with the wide receivers coach as the OC, there needs to be very strong cohesion between the coordinator and the quarterback's coach. They have to really know each other well, be on the same page, etc. And my understanding is, you know, not that they didn't get along, but I think there was some differences in the way that each guy wanted to approach things with the quarterbacks. And I think that just comes with the nature of, generally, it's easier to be the OC if you are also the quarterback's coach. You know, I think that's fairly obvious, right? But that's not the way it was structured at Miami this year. And I think there was some disconnect, might be the best way to say it, between, you know, Gattis and the way he wanted to do things and the way it was communicated to Ponce to communicate to the quarterbacks. I just think it was a tough situation overall for Coach Ponce. and Coach Gattis and the quarterbacks, et cetera. So I do think if slash when a move at offensive coordinator is made this offseason, I think that that's one big lesson learned, right? And in general, this is, I mean, 90% of the time, this is how you're going to structure your staff. But I think it's pretty obvious after this past year that the best way to go about doing it is have your OC and quarterback coach kind of be the same guy, right? So what does this mean maybe for a ripple effect? Hey, Gabby, I mean, look, we're not here officially reporting anything, but I think it's fair to say you and I would both be very surprised if Josh Gattis returns in 2023, correct?
I would definitely be surprised. I mean, it's been a really weird dynamic. I mean, I don't even know that Josh Gattis has really been around the building, right? Like, I know that Miami
for a week or so, maybe.
It's been, I checked in on Wednesday night if, you know, Gattis had been around, and it was still a no. I know they sent David Cooney, the wide receiver analyst, out on the road recruiting. So he's, you know, out there offering wide receivers in Texas and St. Louis and all these different places. Like, he's the one that, you know, that responsibility has fallen on. And again, I don't think that anyone's been given any official word. It's not like it's like this in-house secret that, you know, Josh Gattis isn't back or anything like that. I think they're feeding him some sort of other thing. But I mean, I think it's at the point where the writing's kind of on the wall, because an extended absence like this, while sending, you know, another, you know, staffer on the road to kind of cover the wide receiver stuff at the turn of the calendar, when it's such an important time to kind of establish those relationships and get into those schools with the coaches. I don't know. To me, again, it seems like I'm at the point where I would be surprised if, you know, I got a text saying, hey, you know, he's in the building. So let alone be the offensive coordinator at Miami in 2023. So that's, I guess, my take on the situation. And I agree, David, just kind of touching on your last point, I think from a staff structure standpoint, it seems like it makes way, way, way more sense to go OC quarterbacks coach, you know, wide receiver coach, because if you do need to make a change somewhere, like now, because again, let's say they liked Frank Ponce, but you needed to make the switch at the offensive coordinator, wide receiver coach, like how many offensive coordinator, wide receiver coaches are there? Right. Like you need to, it's kind of like, I'm sure there are some and some that are capable of doing it, but it's definitely a dynamic that's not as, you know, direct as OC quarterbacks coach. So I do think, you know, now that Coach Ponce is gone, I to me, the writing's on the wall that, you know, you're not just going to go out there and hire another quarterbacks coach. I think you go out there, you find an OC quarterbacks coach, and then maybe, you know, you can go get a big time wide receiver guy as well. So that's just my take on maybe the situation entirely right now.
Yeah. And so, you know, what would be the holdup for Gattis, I think, is a fair question. And look, I think on the front end, it's worth saying Mario Cristobal does not care about timelines at all. Doesn't care.
I think we all learned that last coaching cycle, right? Like, I don't know if that's like, hopefully that became clear.
Yeah, we learned that at Miami, right? And he's exhibited that behavior his entire, you know, his coaching career since being the head coach at Oregon. He's not going to rush into these things. So I think that's at play. I think he's also, you know, I think he wants to operate a little bit like Nick Saban too, in that Nick Saban doesn't necessarily fire a lot of his assistants, you know, publicly. What he does is he encourages them to, you know, encourages them in one way or another, either by just not communicating much with them at all, or straight up telling them like, hey, you should probably look for your next landing spot. Just want to let you know. Right. And so I think that could be at play here with Gattis. You know, he's probably trying to find his next landing spot, whether that's, you know, NFL wide receivers coach, whether that's, I think the lowest he might go would be like the Penn State wide receivers coach opening. You know, there's chatter about Iowa and being an offensive coordinator there, which I think he would love to do, but Iowa still has to make some moves in order to facilitate that. You know, their current offensive coordinator, who is the son, I believe, of Kirk Ferentz, would have to find a landing spot of his own somewhere, right? So I think there's a lot of dominoes at play, and I think Gattis is exploring the NFL opportunity, which means you're on an NFL calendar, right? Which is extended a lot more than college. So I think that's at play. I also think potentially there could be some contract details that need to be sorted out. That's just the nature of this type of stuff. But regardless, you know, I think Mario is going to take his time putting together his staff. And that includes offensive coordinator, any other staff changes that he decides to make. You know, look, I'm not putting a timeline on Mario. But I would just, as a Miami, if I'm a Miami fan listening to this podcast, just come to terms with, like, you might not have your full staff in place in mid-February, right? It could be the last week of February, et cetera, et cetera. I just think that's kind of how this whole thing's going to be trending. He's going to take his time. He's going to explore every option, which includes college and NFL options. So he's going to get whoever he feels like is the best fit, and he's going to turn over every rock until he feels ready to make a decision. Anything else on Gattis, or are you good?
No, I'm good on that.
Okay. Let's move on to the transfer portal closing officially on Wednesday, the winter window. So there is another window. It's a 15-day window at the start of May from the 1st to the 15th. So after spring ball, if guys feel like they want to explore opportunities elsewhere, they can jump in the portal then. But the window's closed. So we should get into kind of the roster construction, I think, Gabby, just overall, which includes portal additions, subtractions, et cetera. Once Miami's last day of registration has come and gone. But for now, it looks like there's 19 departures, seven additions. Yep, in the portal. So I would still be surprised, I guess, if that addition number doesn't reach 10 by the end of the May window. So we'll watch out for that. But in terms of defections, two notable names hit the day before the portal closed, and that would be quarterback Jake Garcia, former top 50 recruit, and starting offensive lineman Ja'Kai Clark, 3-year starter. For the Hurricanes. And, you know, look, I think, of course, wish both of them luck. I think the moves make sense for both. Frankly, Gabby, I was surprised when, I forget when this was out there. Maybe it was like December or so, like mid-December, I don't know. But when it was out there that Jake Garcia was going to return, I was surprised by that because all the chatter around him in the fall was that he was not going to return to Miami in 2023. So hopefully this means he has a landing spot. I'm sure he's not just jumping in the portal willy-nilly. I've kind of been told, Gabby, to look out for Florida there. So we'll see if he ends up at Florida. We'll see. But he'll have opportunities to explore. And best of luck to Jake. Really good guy. It was a rough 2022 season, but I do think there's some talent there. And I think in the right system, he can be a solid college quarterback. Ja'Kai Clark, another really good guy. Wish him the best. He was kind of thrust into a starting role before, quite frankly, he should have been. And that speaks to Miami's recruiting / development at the offensive line in recent years, in my opinion. He's solid, but is he a guy that should be a 3 or 4 year starter at the University of Miami? I would probably say no. And I think once, of course, Miami landed Matt Lee, the UCF center transfer, the writing was on the wall that, Ja'Kai Clark would be best served, exploring opportunities elsewhere. So best of luck to both those guys. Anything to add there, Gabby?
No, just kind of, I guess maybe just reiterate your point that I'm surprised it took this long for Jake to kind of hit the portal, because I think when Jaden Rashada flipped from Miami, you know, even the vibe, just kind of like checking in on the pulse of the future of the quarterback, I feel like there was, you know, a feeling, I guess, I don't know, that Jake Garcia wouldn't be back in 2023. So kind of on the same boat as you that, you know, when it kind of started lingering that he was coming back, I was kind of surprised, because I do think there was an expectation that he would maybe, you know, test his options elsewhere. So that's ultimately what happened there. But best of luck to Jake for sure. And definitely best of luck to Ja'Kai.
And in terms of like backup quarterback situation, I think, you know, during the course of the fall, people in the program were kind of telling me like, look, Ja'Kari's closing the gap. Ja'Kari's closing down on Jake for that number two role. I think there was at times, I mean, you can make the determination on your own whether or not you feel like Ja'Kari passed up Jake in 2022 alone. I think it was close. I think that battle would have continued here into the spring. But I think if you're looking at trajectories, personally, I think, you know, there was a good chance that Ja'Kari was about to pass up Jake here in the spring. And so, look, I think it makes sense for Jake to explore opportunities. And, you know, for Ja'Kari, he's just got to keep working, keep developing, and, you know, be a solid number two quarterback here behind Tyler Van Dyke. And I think I'm going off at a tangent here, but I would think the hope is from Ja'Kari is that Miami's offensive line is much improved this year, provides great pass protection for Tyler Van Dyke so he can have a fully healthy season, play the whole year, produce, and allow Ja'Kari to take that redshirt year that he missed out on this past year, so Ja'Kari can develop, retain that year of eligibility, and be ready to compete for the starting job in, what, 2024. So I think Miami's quarterback room is still in good shape. All right, let's take a break there. Speaking of the quarterback room, we're going to touch on some 2024 quarterback names to know on the other side.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
All right, Gabby. Recruiting never stops. And every recruiting class starts with that quarterback position. You got to land a guy that you feel like can at least be a competent starter at some point in his career, right? That needs to be the floor. And you know, you always want to shoot for better than that, but you always want to stack guys that can go out and at least function as a starter at some level. And even though Frank Ponce has moved on, he's the quarterback's coach, or was the quarterback's coach, and he extended a lot of these offers, Mario Cristobal recruits everyone, every position. So he's certainly going to recruit some of these guys. You had a good article. I mean, it's been a little bit now, maybe 3 or 4 days ago. I don't know. Kind of highlighting the names to know for Miami at quarterback in this 2024 cycle. And I'll let you start and take this wherever you want. Your article probably had, I don't know, 7 or 8 guys listed on it. We don't have to touch on all seven or eight. So let's start with, you know, whoever you want to highlight first.
Yeah, let's start with Aaron Noland. I mean, I think that's probably one of my, I don't know, I feel like that's one of my maybe favorite names in the class of 2024. 6'3", 195 pounder out of Langston Hughes in Georgia, just led his team to a state championship this past fall, had like a ridiculous, I believe it was like 55-4 touchdown to interception ratio through for, you know, like 4,000 yards plus. I think he's just a kind of like a big time arm, a guy that can definitely spray it around the yard. Miami just signed his teammate, Joshua Horton, the defensive lineman in that class of 2023. So, I mean, Noland is someone that kind of, he came down to Miami to watch a home game in the fall. I believe it was the Florida State game. So obviously not the best situation, but still, you know, I do think that, you know, the idea of Miami is it's kind of implanted in his head, not saying that Miami is the favorite or anything like that. But I do think that he's definitely reciprocating interest. You know, again, and I think he kind of checks all the boxes. He is a lefty, which is kind of different. I think we were talking, David, when was the last time Miami had a lefty quarterback at Miami? I can't really think of one. But I do think that Noland is one of those names that kind of pops in terms of like the realistic options. Like I can I can shoot at some, like, you know, some of the, like the top like main names. But I think Noland is one of those guys that it's like, you know, in terms of talent and like, you know, reality, I think Noland is probably right in that money spot in terms of just like, this is a guy that they should realistically try to go get.
He's probably my favorite quarterback on this list because of the upside and potential. I think you could argue he has the highest ceiling on this list. He's not the highest rated now. At this point, I mean, all these rankings are going to be changing, as they should, right? As you gather more information on guys, you should update the rankings. Just judging by his huddle film, right? Because I haven't seen Aaron Noland live, but on his huddle film, I think he can do it all. He's 6'3", 195. He's got to gain a little weight, like all college or high school quarterbacks, but he can kind of flick it all over the field. He's not like a runner, but he can run. Like he is an athletic runner. He just prefers to do his damage from the pocket. I think he throws with great touch. I think he's got a big arm to push it downfield. He seems like a guy to me that's like still kind of scratching the surface of his talent. And so if he's a guy that's going to work, I think he's a very exciting guy. I think he's got some five-star talent. You know, I got to see him in person, et cetera, for a real evaluation of him. But just on film, to me, he's very, very exciting. And, you know, you mentioned he's from Georgia. I would imagine there will be heavy SEC interest, of course, for him. In particular, I would keep my eye on Auburn. To me, he's that style of quarterback that Hugh Freeze goes and gets and throws for 5,000 yards with and puts up huge numbers. So he's not going to be an easy guy to get, I would
think. Yeah, I think Auburn's probably, like, if there's, like, that school to watch right now, I think it's Auburn. They signed another one of his teammates to a defensive back in Terrence Love, and he spent a bunch of time in the Plains. So I can definitely see that being a really good fit for Aaron Noland.
Who else you like?
Yeah, a couple of different guys I like. I mean, the next one I'll highlight, let's go Michael Van Buren. And again, I think this is more of just like the kind of like, this is someone that Miami really likes. Is he my personal favorite? Not necessarily, but I can definitely see why Miami could be, is sort of attracted to him just because, you know, he's not like a small guy. I mean, he's like, I would say floating around the 6 foot range, but he's kind of got that dual threat ability where he can make some of those, you know, throws, but I still think he has some polishing he needs to do as a passer. I kind of got to watch him in person, you know, during a showcase because he is going to be the quarterback for that raw 7-on-7 team that is, you know, is Miami based. And he's one of the quarterbacks that's going to be spinning it for them. You know, it seems like, you know, he has the ability to make a lot of different throws on the field, but it can be, you know, pretty inaccurate at times, but the highs are pretty high in terms of the ball placement, but the lows can also, you know, you also see that he still has a ways to go in terms of being a consistent passer. But, you know, he is mobile and he can use the legs. his legs when they were working like off platform drills and stuff like that. It seemed like that's when maybe he was at his best, when he can kind of move around and move the pocket a little bit and make those types of throws. So I can definitely see the intrigue with Michael Van Buren. And, you know, I know, again, that's definitely a name that Miami values in that class of 2024.
Yeah, you could see on film, right, that he does make some wow throws. And he might make as many wow throws as anyone on this list. But similar to what you're saying, I think the consistency factor is an area he needs to improve on and address. And that can happen with reps. Quarterbacks get a lot better over their last year at the high school level because they are competing in so many seven ons and getting those reps. So he's intriguing, but I agree. I think the consistency level does need to improve, but the upside is intriguing. Who else you like?
I'm going to go one more kind of like maybe more realistic option, and then I'll go home run. Okay. For this one, let's go Mailuki Smith. That's a brutal one. You know, I feel like Mario Cristobal is good to, you know, recruit guys from out west. He plays at a strong program in Northern California, Junipero Serra. He started for the first time, you know, here as a junior, 6'3", 180 pounds. So checks off the physical boxes, threw for over 2,500 yards, completed close to 68% of the passes, 34 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, and his team went 13-1, made it to the CIF Open Division state title game, and then they got blown out by St. John Bosco, which, you know, I guess kind of happens in that state. So first-year starter, you know, has kind of like the track record of winning in a tough conference, got to a state title game. Again, kind of checks off the boxes. You know, physically, I do think he's still kind of developing as a passer and all that stuff, but I know Miami's kind of high on the potential upside. And, you know, he's someone that I think they did a good job of evaluating, because like his name first kind of emerged on my radar probably almost like a month and a half before they actually went ahead and offered him. So I think they did a deep dive on him and ended up pulling the trigger there. He's starting to pick up some recruiting momentum now too. So he's definitely a name if we're looking out west to kind of know. Utah just offered, Cal's offered, BYU's offered since Miami had. So there's a couple, you know, of those schools out west that are definitely intrigued as well.
Yeah. So of these quarterbacks, there's a group, maybe three or four guys that are just kind of like solid pocket passers that can deliver the ball if you give them time, right? Kind of like an Emery Williams type, I think I would say. Smith, the guy you're talking about, he's my favorite of that group that Miami's offered. I'd say he's like slightly maybe more upside-ish than Emery Williams, but to me similar in that they're good passers from the pocket, delivers a good ball, plays against solid competition in California. To me, like, he's like the floor of what you should get at the quarterback position. So I agree with you. I think his film is intriguing, and you know, he wouldn't necessarily be a bad take if he's your quarterback in this class.
Yeah, so let's go home run, right? And this is obviously a long shot, but you know, this is a recruiting process and one that kind of goes on. I'm gonna throw Julian Sain out there. He's a five-star quarterback committed to the Alabama Crimson Tide. He's the primary quarterback for this raw Miami based 7-on-7 organization. So he was already down in South Florida a couple weekends ago, couldn't go to Miami because it was a dead period. But, you know, I think there was some consideration from his perspective and maybe some of the other guys of going on one of those like self-guided tours around the campus. I think they ultimately hit the pause button because they just didn't want to put Miami in a weird spot, but they were strongly considering going to campus then and just kind of walking around, you know, with the 7-on-7 coaches as the sort of, you know, tour guides and all that stuff. So it seems like, you know, they were, you know, interested in going to campus. I believe, you know, he will be back, you know, Julian Sain will be on campus on Saturday whenever they go with the 7-on-7 team. And again, this is kind of early in the process. You know, it's still, I mean, what, it's January, obviously Penn won't need paper for another 11 months or so. And Mario Cristobal, I think, is in a position now where they need to go out and get a big time quarterback after signing Emery Williams. I think they need to try to shoot for the stars on at least a guy, you know, at least try to make things close. And look, we've seen what kind of, not what exactly matters with some of these big time recruitments, but what plays a factor, you know, name, image, and likeness. I'm not saying it does here, but Miami is one of the primary players in the country in terms of providing those types of opportunities. So if he's a big time quarterback, you know, looking for, you know, some of those types of things, I think Miami could be a spot where he could maybe give a nice hard look to. So curious what the feedback is going to be coming off that visit on Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of those guys that Mario Cristobal kind of, you know, maybe tried to prioritize while they were all there, because I do feel like landing that quarterback, getting that quarterback spot right is as important as any other position. And I do think in 2024, they need to kind of hit on an arm. I think it's really important. So I could see Julian Sain being like the big fish that they kind of go after, considering maybe not, I don't want to say accessibility, but he is going to be around the South Florida area maybe more often than any other of these other big time quarterbacks, like the Jaden Davis or, you know, any of those, or Dylan Raiola, where maybe it's, those are definite long shots. Julian Sain could be in Miami more than those guys ever would be. So that's why I'd probably put Julian Sain in that category. And then he's just an elite arm. I mean, was very obvious at that showcase that that's what a big time quarterback looks like. And we don't get a lot of exposure, in-person exposure to that here in South Florida. So when you see it, I think it becomes blatantly obvious. Like, yeah, this is what a quarterback is supposed to look like.
Yeah. Watching his film, you know, accuracy seems elite. Anticipation, impressive. He also, on his high school film, works from under center a little bit, which I found interesting in terms of just being a well-rounded quarterback at the high school level. I want to ask you just two guys that Miami's offered that I find intriguing just based off their film, right? Not saying it's realistic or anything. You touched on him though, and that's 5-star Jaden Davis. He's 6 foot, 190 out of Charlotte, North Carolina. To me, he has interesting film. He's, I wouldn't call him the most physically gifted quarterback based on his film, but he just plays with a lot of control. Plays at his own pace. He's not really rushed or hurried into bad decisions, it looks like. He's really good outside the pocket, really good at making off-schedule plays on film, at least. Again, not a super dynamic athlete, but he does throw the ball well on the run. Not the biggest arm, but he will stand in the pocket and deliver it. Seems to go through progressions pretty well for the high school level. What's your vibes on Jaden Davis?
Yeah, I was hoping so. I think his 7-on-7 organization is scheduled to be down here for Battle Miami, but I don't think Jaden Davis is coming down with them. It sounds like he's going to North Carolina on a visit. So that's maybe the main reason why I excluded him, because I was hoping that he would take advantage maybe of the opportunity of his team going to Miami to maybe slide through the program, maybe give it a look. And it seems like he's deferring, you know, he's going to go do something else. So that's just telling me that maybe he's not like super interested in, you know, what Miami has going on right now, and that he would rather go to North Carolina, a school that's in state. He's from Charlotte. I don't know how far Chapel Hill is from Charlotte, but I can't imagine it's too far. It seems like a school you can get to. Plenty unique opportunity to come down to South Florida and you know, check out Miami. He's not doing that. So I think he's a great player. I think he's a big, big time, you know, type of talent. I know he took a big step from his sophomore to his junior year in terms of like the production and those different types of things. I know Michigan's in there. I know Clemson's just sent Garrett Riley to go watch him. A bunch of other dudes, a bunch of other programs in there as well. So I just don't see Miami really having, you know, that the footing in the recruitment that maybe they would like to.
Yeah, North Carolina is interesting. Like, he might be similar to Sam Howell in some ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then the other guy I want to ask you about, he did camp at Miami, and that's 4-star Isaac Wilson.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson's little brother, right? He's out of Utah. 6 foot, 160. Looks like he's like 12 years old in the face.
Yeah.
But he's, man, you watch him, he can rip it a little bit. I like how aggressive he is on film. He's always pushing it downfield. Seems to go through progressions pretty quick. I think he'd be a fun college quarterback. What's the vibes on him?
Yeah, Isaac Wilson's interesting. I don't know if they maybe have him as, you know, I guess, I mean, it could change now with Frank Ponce out of there, but I know like, you know, previously. I don't know if they look, they saw Isaac Wilson the way that maybe they saw some of these other guys. And again, yeah, he can rip it. He plays at that Corner Canyon school that produced Jackson Dart, that produced what's this kid that signed with Ohio State that was committed to USC? I can't remember his name right now, but he was like, he ended up being like a top ranked quarterback in the, I believe it was the 2022 class. So, I mean, that's an offense that they just absolutely rip it out there. You talked about the aggressiveness, 40 touchdowns, 3,700 yards. He did throw 17 touchdowns as a junior. So maybe a little bit too aggressive.
17 picks, you're saying?
Yeah. 17 okay. picks. 17 interceptions, my fault. So, I mean, maybe a little bit too aggressive right now, at least for my liking, but I can see him ending up at one of these like pass heavy schools. I think Oklahoma State offered him. I think that's a place that, you know, potentially makes sense. I think that could be a good fit. If he follows his older brother's footsteps, Zach Wilson, right. The New York Jets quarterback. I think I'm sure BYU has an opportunity for him. I can see him being at one of those programs where they just kind of let these guys drop back and rip it. And, you know, I could see him doing that. Well, I mean, were you at that camp, David, that he threw it at? I thought he kind of got better. Like, you know, as his reps started kind of increasing, like as he got loose, he's like the ball really started to zip out of his hand. So, I mean, I could see him, you know, being a potential option. He is on the smaller side. Zach Wilson's obviously not a very big dude. I mean, he's probably 5'10". I don't know exactly what's he listed at. 6'166". Yeah, I think that might be generous based on the last time I saw him, which is, again, at that summer camp. But, you know, I could maybe see it down the line if they maybe have to kind of start shuffling down or trending down, maybe down the board a little bit.
Attention, business owners. I'm going to say three words you've probably heard of by now. Employee retention credit. If you're a business owner with W-2 employees and you haven't explored this program, you need to schedule a call with our friends at Foreman Law Offices ASAP.
The employee retention credit can put thousands of dollars back into the hands of business owners. However, the rules are complex and have changed many times since the inception of the program. You need to have a qualified law firm with experience in the ERC. Evaluate this for your business. You won't owe them a dime until you get paid.
All you have to do is go to erclawyers.com and fill out the short questionnaire to schedule a call with their team. 2 minutes may be worth thousands of dollars for your business. Get it done today. erclawyers.com. Tell them TTS sent you for Through the Smoke. The Star Horton Group is a real estate company that covers all of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Born and raised in Miami, Star is committed to growing his clients' wealth and securing their futures. One of the top realtors in the state, Star knows the ins and outs of the market to make sure his clients get the best possible value when they sell or buy.
If you're looking to buy or sell, or know someone who is, call or text Star directly at 561-573-4661. And here's the beauty. When you refer someone to Star, he will donate $250 to the Miami Hurricanes Athletic Fund in your name upon the closing of the deal.
So to have a great real estate experience and help our Canes, call or text Star today at 561-573-4661. All right, so you mentioned a little bit, but Miami, so there's a big 7-on-7 tournament in South Florida this weekend, Battle Miami. And so in conjunction with that, Miami's going to be having guys from that or just in general from around the state come through, spend time, et cetera. So let's just start there. Like, what are you expecting? It's going to be mainly Saturday, right?
Yeah.
What are you expecting Saturday to look like from a Miami hosting 2024, 2025, et cetera, big time players?
Yeah, I mean, I expect maybe a little bit of chaos, hopefully not as much chaos as there was last year, David. As we know, I think Miami maybe has their ducks in a row, better than they did at that point last year. There's definitely a full recruiting staff in place. All the coaches minus Frank Ponce and presumably Josh Gattis will be there. So I think that they'll have more availability in terms of just like being able to prioritize and do certain things. It seems to me like they're going to be more organized in a way that they're maybe going to do it through three sessions where there's like a morning session where the teams may be playing in the afternoon, come through in the morning, a mid-afternoon session, like a, I think noon session where maybe some of the teams that played in the morning or playing later in the evening kind of come then, and then an evening session where maybe the teams who played in the morning come then. So it seems like they're going to try to break it up so that it's a little bit more, you know, they can plan it out a little bit better. But it seems like it's just going to be an absolutely wild event. I mean, if you're subscribed to Inside the U, I have a list going of just all the big time prospects that are basically playing in the tournament and expected to swing through campus, because it seems like all these teams are just going to kind of come through in waves. So, you know, it's going to be an opportunity for Miami to get eyes on a bunch of these guys. I'm trying to, thinking back to the 2020, well, last cycle. I mean, Dante Moore, the five-star quarterback who signed with UCLA, was on campus. Nico Yamalieva, who signed with Tennessee, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, he was on campus. That was the first time Riley Williams was on campus. That was maybe not the first time, but the first time under Mario Cristobal that Jaden Wayne was on campus. Malik Bryant was on campus then. Francis Malagoa was on campus then for the first time. You know, like members of Miami's, you know, pillar members of Miami's class of 2023, Nathaniel Joseph was there on the Friday before, you know. So like a bunch of guys who ended up signing with Miami all were there at this, you know, quote unquote elite prospect day, as they call it. So it's a lot of names being thrown at you, but some, you know, this is an opportunity for the staff to kind of lay some foundational work in terms of, you know, building these relationships and getting these guys on campus, showing them what Miami has to offer. Now they have obviously all the, you know, the I don't know, what are they called, for the new facility, all the stuff that they can renderings. Show them with that, the renderings of the new facilities. So it's an exciting time for the program. And, you know, I do think that this is going to present an opportunity to showcase what Miami has to offer to a bunch of names that maybe you wouldn't get to campus, maybe potentially not get to your campus at all otherwise. And this could spark interest that could lead to a second visit and so on and so forth. And, you know, again, this is the foundational work that it takes to really start building a strong 2024 class to stack on top of this class of 2023.
So let's dive into that. Who, you know, that's planning to maybe visit Miami this weekend, you know, maybe be a potential pillar of this class, kind of like you were alluding to with last year's event and the 2023 cycle. Who are guys that you are excited about?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much names. I'll give you a few just to not, like, you know, drag it on. I mentioned Julian Sain already. I think he's probably someone at the top of my personal list for all the reasons that I already mentioned, that Miami needs a big time arm and, you know, of course, committed to the Crimson Tide. But just kind of see where that can go. The next name I'm going to throw out there, Ellis Robinson IV. He's the top ranked cornerback in the class of 2024. He's, again, been around Miami before. He was just in Miami a couple weekends ago for that Raw 7-on-7 showcase. So very familiar with South Florida. I do think he has legitimate interest in the program. Georgia might be the team to beat right now. But again, this is a process. I believe Miami's one of the five schools that he's really considering. So someone who could eventually get back to Miami for an official visit. I do think that this could potentially be a big one for Ellis Robinson IV. Then just kind of trickling back down, someone who's not playing in the 7-on-7 event, just kind of coming on their own. Again, we mentioned Jaden Wayne, Riley Williams. None of those guys came up, were here for the 7-on-7 event, just kind of visited for this big event. Composite five-star Kamarian Franklin. He's a defensive lineman out of the state of Mississippi. Miami had tried to get him down before. I don't think that worked out, but he will be down. In Coral Gables for this elite prospect day. And again, it's all about the trenches. Franklin is he's 6'4.5", 260 pounder. So someone that could potentially play on the interior defensive line, or maybe, you know, even kick out as an edge guy. I think he's a big line of scrimmage. He might be the biggest name along the line of scrimmage that's going to be down in Miami this weekend. Terrence Moore is a wide receiver out of Tampa, who I think, you know, maybe doesn't have the star ratings that some of these other guys do right now. I think he's maybe like an 87 or something like that on the from 24/7 Sports. But I think the people in Coral Gables are extremely, extremely high on him. And he's picking up offer after offer from all these different major programs. And he's definitely a bigger kid. So that's someone that I know Miami's really, really excited to get down to campus. And then I'm going to throw one more in terms of like my five, David, then maybe we can go through those and I'll throw out some honorable mentions. Josiah Trader. And for obvious reasons, Miami needs help at wide receiver, and Terrence Moore, Josiah Trader are two of the best in the Sunshine State. Trader, 6'1.5", 170, someone that could probably be a power five level athlete on both sides of the ball. And I do think Miami needs to lock down some of these local wide receivers. Obviously, they missed out on a couple here in the class of 2023. There's another loaded group coming up in 2024, and Josiah Trader is definitely one that I know Miami wants to have.
How elite is he? And so before you go into that, how big is it to kind of maybe mend fences a little bit with Chamadon Madonna right now? Because they had a couple guys, Miami had a couple guys from Chamadon Madonna hit the portal. Might need to smooth that over a little bit. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, it is. You know, I do think that that's a real, again, that's not something people maybe think about, David. I'm glad you brought that up. But yeah, you know, I do think, you know, with Thad Franklin leaving, with Alan Hay leaving, you know, I do think that, you know, that's something that, you know, definitely ruffles some feathers, right? Like, they didn't get the opportunity that those guys hoped, you know, maybe that they would get here in South Florida. But at the same time, you know, I do think that there's an argument to be had, again, from Miami's perspective, is just like, should those guys have been here in the first place? So, yeah, you know, I think you definitely have to, you know, mend those relationships. You continue to recruit their kids. I mean, Miami, I think, went all out to recruit, you know, Jeremiah Smith, Josiah Trader, the recruiting Zaquan Patterson. Yeah, I think Miami's done a really good job of recruiting those types of guys. And at the same time, Chaminade, you know, some of the guys that Miami's recruiting ended up somewhere else. Like, for example, Miami tried to recruit Kenyatta Jackson and he ends up at Ohio State. So I think it's a two-way street where it's just like, yeah, you know, like, you can be upset at us for, let's say, you know, this situation not working out, but we tried really, really hard to get your top guy. And not that they sent him to Ohio State, but he ended up going elsewhere. So, you know, I do think that it's a two-way street where, like, you know, Miami has to do what's best for the program. And at the same time, Miami has tried to recruit their big kids and also have been consistently recruiting the program. So, yeah, maybe you got to mend a couple relationships, but I think ultimately, you know, Miami's done a good job, good enough job, and given those guys chances where they could. I mean, to Corey Couch, you know, basically started for Miami last year. I think that's one situation you can point out, be like, hey, yeah, maybe these didn't work out. But look, to Corey Couch, played a ton of snaps for us. Keontre Smith has gotten every opportunity that he could get, you know, here at linebacker. And, you know, maybe that hasn't been the best situation overall for him, but, you know, he's gotten opportunities to get on the field. So for those two examples, there are other examples of things working out with those guys. But yeah, you know, think that obviously that's a situation where you need to continue to mend relationships and continue to, you know, build these new relationships. It's really a new staff and all that stuff. So I do think that there's opportunity with Chaminade, with all these, really these, you know, Broward County private schools, the schools in general, to continue to show that Miami is a place where they can, you know, confidently send their kids and they're going to get developed and, you know, hopefully one day play in the league.
You view Trader as a wide receiver one in college? Because obviously with this high school team, he's wide receiver two, just by the nature of Jeremiah Smith being on his team. Can he be a wide receiver one in college?
I think he can, man. You know, I think he has, just kind of watching him play time and time again. I mean, he's aggressive. He's physical. I mean, I've watched him make some ridiculous catches in terms of just going up over the top of guys and coming down with it. Again, you're looking for an outside guy and he has a size 6'1.5". He has a frame where you can probably throw a little bit of weight on him. I think he has, you know, legit speed where he can kind of, you know, get behind. Maybe not the fastest dude in the world, but I think he's fast enough where he can get behind guys. I think he can definitely be, you know, a wide receiver one, maybe that, like, again, the ideal wide receiver two, like the perfect wide receiver two. But Jeremiah Smith, obviously not a lot of those guys running around. So, but I do think that, you know, Josiah Trader could potentially be one of those guys. Is he there right now? You know, I do think that's maybe up for debate, but I think that if he puts it all together, he could be one of the most talented, you know, wideouts in the country this cycle.
And then who are some quick hitter names you'd throw out there and then we can get out of here?
Yeah, a couple more wideouts. I mean, I think that's maybe a lot of skill positions. So a lot of DBs, sure. Wide receivers. Honorable mentions, Chance Robinson out of Fort Lauderdale, St. Thomas Aquinas. Again, kind of an outside type of guy. I believe Alabama offered him while we were recording this podcast. So getting a lot of national attention, top 60 talent, South Florida kid, need to keep him home. Mazeo Bennett is a top 247 wide receiver. Miami has been recruiting. Josh Gattis has been recruiting. So monkey wrench there. Let's see. I'm curious how he's kind of feeling about Miami if Gattis isn't really around this weekend and if that impacts anything. And the third one I'll mention is Xavien Brown. He's a top 247 cornerback out of Mater Dei, who's going to be playing with South Florida Express this weekend. And he told me in a message that he's excited to get down to Miami. And and see the school. So, you know, I think they're going to try to recruit coast to coast. And Xavier Brown, again, is a guy that who's already been down in South Florida for the tryout and potentially spend more time down here as well. So curious how much Miami could really get involved there. And I know Coach Adai, he offered Xavier Brown recently. So definitely a name that to know at cornerback.
Great stuff. Gabby will be covering it all at the VIP level at InsideTheU.com. So if you're not subscribed, now's the time to jump in at the start of this cycle pretty much and enjoy the ride with Gabby. So we'll be covering it all weekend. Appreciate everyone for listening as always. Appreciate all our sponsors. Again, your support means so much to us. Everyone who listens, your support means so much to us. Till next time, take care.
CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.